Good evening. This evening's reading is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, and you can find that on page 996 of the Church Bibles. It's 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting at verse 1. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry.
Thank you, Roger, and others for leading us and praying. And thank you to the army of people across Chalmers who opened their homes up today and welcome folks from across the different generations around the dinner table. It was hugely appreciated by the many, many people who were well fed. So thank you for that. Now, there are no more important passages in the Bible than this one. It's very, very unusual for a passage to begin with such strong terms. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge all, to preach the word. So let's pray for God's help. Our Father, we thank you for this passage before us tonight. We pray that we will listen carefully and heed what it says. We pray that you will encourage us as well as challenge us. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As somebody outside the Free Church of Scotland, which is the clear and growing denomination in Scotland, a number of folks from Chalmers that are training are becoming ministers in the Free Church. It is encouraging to see what is happening in that denomination. Its vision is bold to see a healthy gospel church in every community in Scotland. And one of the reasons that vision is bold and yet humble is that the tagline, the Free Church of Scotland, is often dropped from the literature. For together in gospel partnership, our vision needs to be for a healthy gospel church in every community in Scotland. There are a number of lines of strategic effort to achieve that. One of them is training leaders and gospel workers for local churches. Another is planting new churches or revitalizing ailing churches and resourcing established churches. A major research project carried out by Barna Global on the Scottish Church, published in 2015, concluded, and I quote from the document, "By far the most significant finding is the singular importance of developing leaders. Investment in leaders is the first and most important priority. Because these God-given and gifted leaders will mobilize, motivate, equip, and direct God's people to accomplish his vision for the church in Scotland. Moreover, leaders who operate corporately as part of teams will be much more effective." Now, that is a clear endorsement of the strategic effort to train leaders and gospel workers for local churches. But as the emerging strategy is being reviewed, before God willing, it is scaled up with the required investment financially and in other ways. The key question to be asked is this: what are we training leaders and gospel workers for local churches to do? A group of church leaders will meet in Inverness tomorrow. Similar events have been held over the past few weeks in Glasgow, Edinburgh, and Aberdeen, to discuss and answer that fundamental question. What is it that we are training leaders and gospel workers for local churches to do? Now, that may seem a basic question, but it's a fundamental question. The answer is in the Bible. And encouragingly, across the country, there is more and more of a consensus and conviction around the Bible's answer. There is no doubt that the challenge ahead is daunting. It is like climbing a dangerous mountain hitherto hidden in the fog. When the sky's clear and the mountain comes in view, the sheer scale of the ascent is daunting. But what matters is that we know what we are to do and to get on and do it. So what is the answer? What are we training leaders and gospel workers for local churches to do? Well, here is the answer, expressed in powerful and emotive and sobering and moving language. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. There is nothing more important for the church than this Bible passage. There is nothing more important for the church nationally, nothing more important for the church locally, nothing more important for Chalmers Church. And this charge is the culmination of this letter, the final letter of the Apostle Paul, as the baton passes from the apostles to the first generation of Christian ministers. But there is nothing new in this charge. It is a fundamental principle running right through the Bible. Let me just, for a few minutes, try to set out a brief Bible overview to persuade us of that. How does God work in the world? A basic and elemental question. Through his word. It begins at creation. God speaks and the world and humanity are created. And this fundamental principle that God works through his word never changes. If God wants something to happen, he just has to speak it into being. His word is powerful. Now, had we the time, we could trace that through the Old Testament. One of the most graphic Old Testament stories to make this point is said in the Valley of Lost Hope in Ezekiel 37. The context: Israel has sinned and God has judged them. The northern part of the kingdom has fallen to Assyria. The southern part conquered by Babylon. The people taken into exile. Jerusalem and the temple destroyed. No wonder God's people wept by the rivers of Babylon. And their bleak situation is pictured in Ezekiel's vision of a vast valley covered with unburied human bones. The bones are dry. There is no life. Yet these bones can live should the sovereign Lord choose to bring them to life. Yes, they can live. Should the Creator God put his life-giving breath into them? And how does that happen? When Ezekiel, God's prophet, speaks. Listen to Ezekiel 37, verses 7 through 10. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound. And behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. Try and imagine this in your mind. This vast desert landscape littered with human unburied bones, parched and dry. And as God's prophet spoke, there was a sound, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone, sinews, flesh, and skin, and yet still there was no breath in the bodies. Then God said to the prophet, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into being, and they lived and stood in their feet, an exceedingly great army. Now that's a wonderful vision that was given to the people of God, to the prophet Ezekiel, as he prophesied in a shanty town on the banks of the Kibar Canal in Babylon. Now into the New Testament, the Gospels, Jesus is a preacher. He begins his public ministry proclaiming the gospel of God, Mark 1:15. Faced with competing pressures and demands, at the start of his ministry, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to the next towns that I may preach, for that is why I have come." Jesus commissioned his disciples to preach. He appointed 12, Mark 3:14, whom he named apostles, so that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. The parables in Mark 4, the sower, the growing seed, the mustard seed, teach that the power is in the word. And when the word is spoken, there will be a miraculous harvest. Jesus' compassion for the crowds in Mark 6 is because they are like sheep without a shepherd. So he preached the word to them. In the Acts of the Apostles, the church comes into being as the word of God is preached in the power of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Faced with competing pressures and demands at the start of their ministry, the apostles resolved to devote themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The marker statement in the book of Acts is not the church grew, rather it is the word increased, the word spread, the word multiplied. The New Testament letters continue to emphasize this fundamental principle. It is the gospel and nothing else that is Romans 1:16, the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. It is the word of the cross that for those who are being saved is the only power of God. It is by the word of truth that God brought us forth. It is through the living and abiding word of God that we have been born again. And on the lips of the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 2, 1-5, when I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. It is not about eloquence, fundamentally. It is about allowing the word of God to be proclaimed as it is. For I decided, Paul says, to know nothing among you except Jesus and him crucified. It's extraordinarily moving, this, isn't it? At least to me. That is one thing that brings people to life who are dead. My speech and my message were not implausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And then we come to 2 Timothy, the final letter of the apostle on the bridge between the apostolic age and the church age. And all through this letter, you can just glance at it if you have a Bible open. 2 Timothy 1:6, I remind you, Timothy, to fan into flame the gift of God. What is the gift of God? It is the gift that Timothy has, I'm quoting from 1 Timothy 4, for the public reading of Scripture, for the exhortation, and for the teaching. 2 Timothy 1:10-13, Paul refers to his appointment as a preacher an apostle, and a teacher. He exhorts Timothy to follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me. 2 Timothy 2:2, what you have heard from me, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others. 2 Timothy 2:8, but the word of God is not bound. 2:15, be a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. 2:24 and 25, able to teach, correcting with gentleness. 3:10, you have followed my teaching. 14, continue in what you have learned. 15, the sacred writings, just a synonym for the word of God, which are able to make you wise for salvation. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God, in this case, the gospel minister, may be competent. What is competency in a Christian ministry? A conviction that all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for encouragement, for training in righteousness. A conviction that the word of God is fully sufficient for all and every situation. And so at the end of all of that, as the Apostle Paul puts down his pen and stands on the threshold of glory, he says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. There is simply nothing more important for the church than this Bible passage and this central message. Trust the word, preach the word, entrust the task to many others. Now, for the second half of our time, let's look at these few verses in more detail. Now, all I've done is set them out in the service sheet with space for those of you who find it helpful to take notes. Verse 1, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom. Who is the you? Who is the you in I charge you? It is Timothy. Remember who he is. He is a church leader in Ephesus. He is, if you like, a full-time elder. And as such, he is representative of all church leaders, whether full-time or non-vocational elders. And so this is addressed directly to me, to Rog, and to Jay, and to the 14 non-vocational elders in Chalmers. It is also addressed indirectly to the people Timothy has been told to entrust leadership in the ministry of the word. These are the people referred to in chapter 2, verses 2 and 14. Just glance back to that. First chapter 2, verse 2, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men. The word is generic. It means people who will be able to teach others also. Don't just give the ministry of the word to another generation. Give it to those who already are convicted to give it to yet another generation. And then chapter 2 and verse 14, remind them, that is, the people to whom you entrust the ministry of the word, and charge them before God. Notice the repeat of the charge. Further evidence of an intended link to 4, 1 and following. Who are these people in Chalmers beyond Roger, Jay and me and the elders? Everyone who has been entrusted with leadership in the ministry of the word. For example, our gospel partners, the leaders of evangelistic ministries in Chalmers, leaders of small groups, others who lead Bible studies in small groups, the people from Chalmers who are out and about preaching in other churches on Sundays like today, and people training for ministry through the Ministry Associate Church Leader in Training and Women in Ministry training programs. And it is legitimate to apply this to every Christian in Chalmers. For we have learned over the years from Bible passages like Ephesians 4, Bible passages that we heard again and again and again until we came to terms with the truth that every Christian in a local church has a ministry of the word. Speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15, is ministry of the word. Whether evangelistically, reading the Bible with someone who is not a Christian, or to build up fellow believers, being part of a small group studying the Bible together, where everyone has a speaking part, or in the natural conversations that happen after a sermon or Bible study. And there is another dimension in which this is relevant to us all. The final words of the letter, we'll get to these next week. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. The you there is Yal. Why did I say that with that accent? Why did I do that? Let's go back again. The you there is all of you. One of you is going to get the giggles now, aren't you? We could do with a bit of light relief, though, couldn't we? I did not come to you with words of eloquence. And how important that is. The you is everyone in the church in Ephesus. Listening to this letter as it is read out publicly to the gathered church, all Christians need to be aware of what is expected of those entrusted with leadership in a ministry of the word, that they might pray for them and hold them under Christ to account. We need to embrace the seriousness of what Paul says. He does not say, I encourage you or instruct you to preach the word. Rather, he says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom. The language of charging is to convey this seriousness. Moreover, it is in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. So at the moment, as this is proclaimed to all of us in the spotlight, God is charging us at this moment in his presence and in the presence of Christ. And we know from our studies in Hebrews that we are right there with God and Christ in the throne room of heaven. The last day translated to today. Every person engaged in leadership in the ministry of the word should be rightly sobered by the seriousness of this. It is an instruction, a commission from God and Christ. Our discharge of the responsibility will be judged. If we are not sobered by this, we should not be engaged in the ministry of the word. But being sobered by this, always this is what happens with the word of God. How is it that some of us are beginning to smile on our faces and in our hearts for what is sobering and challenging from our loving God and our Savior Jesus is at the same time wonderfully moving and inspiring? All through the letter, Paul, and as an apostle, he is a spokesperson for the Lord Jesus, is straight with Timothy. He tells him what he must do. He spells out the implications if he does not. But at the same time, he constantly impresses on Timothy that he is not alone in the task. He is one of a number of elders, all of whom in leadership in the ministry of the word. Indeed, he is part, or should be, of a healthy gospel church where many, many people are engaged in the ministry of the word. Moreover, and Paul impresses on Timothy and us the supernatural resources, the strengthening grace, the powerful grace of God for everyone engaged in such a ministry. And he reminds Timothy and us of the power in the word. It is not to do with our eloquence. It is everything to do with our faithfulness, stumbling if it needs to be, in simply saying what God's word says. And so, yes, we are rightly sobered, but enabled in the task of speaking a powerful word that changes people's lives, making disciples and growing disciples. It is a very good thing. It is an infinitely worthwhile thing to do. Now consider next from verse 2 what we are charged to do. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. What does preach the word mean? Now I've been using the phrase the ministry of the word up to now, referring to all sorts of different expressions of word ministry in a church in the hands of all sorts of different people. Is preaching something different from the ministry of the word? The right way, I think, to answer that is to think of preaching, what is happening right now as the church is gathered together, this strange kind of monologue that is an ordinance of God through which the Holy Spirit engages in silent dialogue in all of our hearts. What is happening right now should be understood as the central expression of the ministry of the word among a number of other expressions. Central in terms of, one, its authority. Preaching is how Jesus leads his church. Central, number two, in terms of its context when the church is gathered together. Central, number three, in its purpose. What is happening right now, God's word says, when the word of God is preached, it enables, like a catalyst, and equips people all over the church for the ministry of the word in its many other expressions. And so the ministry of the word is not to be restricted to preaching. In a healthy gospel church, it finds expression in a whole variety of other contexts that we have already referred to. So the preaching of the word is directly in focus here, but also these other expressions. Support for that is found in the word teaching at the end of verse 3. Paul is simply using another speaking word. But what is common to every expression of the ministry of the word, whether preaching, studying the Bible together, evangelism, one-to-one Bible study, or edifying speech, they are all the ministry of the word. The word minister means servant. The ministry of the word is a servant of the word, Jesus' word, God's word. It is trusting the word and speaking the word as it is. And what is the word? It is the Bible. In 2 Timothy, a number of different words are used to refer to the word of truth, 2:15, the sacred writings, 3:15, all scripture, 3:16, and the word, 4:2. Now notice the way Paul ties together the word and the ministry of the word. 3:16 and 4:2 are parallel verses. All scripture, 3:16, is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. And listen to the echo. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, encourage with complete patience and teaching. They're mirrors. What are the implications of this? That preaching and other expressions of the ministry of the word are faithful to the content of the Bible. Yes, it is God's truth that we are to speak, but more than that, confidence in God's word means we will preach it, teach it, speak it in the way that God has given it to us, in the way that he has inspired it, which is why we work through Bible books. That is not a straitjacket. There are times. And I've done this many times, particularly with people who are sick or ill. It is appropriate to turn to a particular passage in the Bible for a particular reason, perhaps one-to-one. But going through Bible books lets God set the agenda and speak into our lives in the way He intends. We might think that 2 Timothy 4, 1-5 is an apposite passage to have on whatever day today is, the 16th of March, 17th. But what a daft choice on the day of a multi-church link-up lunch, when everyone is so tired by the Sunday night that they either stay at home, watch online, if you're watching online, wake up. Or like me, you get through a Sunday night with that heavy eyes, just to say that these lights up here mean that if you do shut your eyes, we can't see. Preaching through Bible books, long planned in advance, trusts to the supernatural appointment and timing of God. Sometimes people ask, does the ministry of the word always need to have a Bible open in front of you? I guess strictly no is the answer. Speaking about the sermon over coffee, you don't need to have your Bible open. But what happens is that when people are speaking about that and they're perhaps talking about something that somebody didn't understand, the natural thing to do and what people do is just turn to a Bible. It's why in the Q&A sessions on a Sunday preaching, we answer from the Bible and meeting one-to-one, reading one-to-one. Absolutely have the Bible open. I guess my obvious answer to that is, why on earth wouldn't you? Preach the word with complete patience. Now that may refer to forbearance in the face of opposition, chapter 2. It may also be referring to the fact that it often takes a long time for the word of God to change us. Not always, but usually. Now what does Paul mean by be ready in season and out of season? Well, there are times in the history of the church, say at a national level, or in the life of a church locally, when it is really hard to preach the word. When it's in season, it's still not easy, but out of season, it's very, very hard. And in verses 3 and 4, Paul refers to such a time when the kind of ministry of the word as commended in this letter is out of season, or out of favor, or does not attract the crowds. It seems that Timothy found himself in such a season, and there is ample evidence to suggest that we are in such a season, a time like this, when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Now that is simply a reminder that there is a right kind of teaching that builds life and a wrong kind that destroys it, eats it away, chapter 2, like gangrene. Now in his sermon on the first part of chapter 3, Rog preached very helpfully on this, and I encourage you to listen to that if you've not already. The verse 3 and 4 stuff. And as we move closer to normal times in the West, in terms of living and witnessing as Christians, the culture around us will persuade, and evidence in these last 20 years is extraordinarily powerful. It will persuade many preachers and Bible teachers to preach and teach another gospel, something less than or more than the Word of God, some bits of the Word of God and not others. The pressure to do that is strong. Many preachers and teachers will drift. We might. And shift. And there will be plenty of people eager to listen to them and affirm them. That's why we need the words, I charge you. It might be popular for a time, but it's not truth. Myths do not save and sanctify people. Only truth does. And that's why Paul wrote to Timothy, first to Timothy, and now to us. Now, as we come to a close, Let's hear this individually and corporately as a church, verse 5. As for you, individually and corporately, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. This is not a kind of tag on, another sermon, another point. It's exactly the same stuff. It's just a brilliant summary of what he has said. Always be sober-minded. Now, keep your head. Keep your head. Keep your head. In this point in history. How? By knowing the Word of God, by learning convictions concerning the Word of God and preaching the Word, by proving these convictions over time. Every generation of Christians and Christian leaders needs to keep their heads. Certainly true of the generation in which we are living. Likewise, endure suffering. Suffering is not possible in Christian ministry in its various expressions. It is inevitable. Do the work of an evangelist. Now, in the sermon preparation meeting this week, Jay, Adam, and I were reflecting on the challenge of this, do the work of an evangelist, and how hard that is. Paul is not adding something here that he's not been talking about. He is not saying evangelism is something different to the ministry of the word. He is just reminding us of that dimension of the ministry of the word that is evangelism. Whether one-on-one with a Bible, whether speaking to people the gospel, or whether preaching evangelistically, the context where that is happening in Chalmers, it is very hard. And we need to pray for the people engaged in these ministries as they speak the gospel, and for those reading the Bible with people in evangelism. And of course, thinking if there are people we can ask to read the Bible with. Paul concludes verse 5 with fulfill your ministry. Literally, accomplish your ministry. Do what God has called you to do, charged you to do. Read, live, breathe the pastoral letters and do what they ask us to do. Now, I mentioned at the start this series of meetings around the country. The last one is in Inverness tomorrow. It starts at 10 a.m., so an early start to drive up. The day begins with a church leader from the area giving an overview of the region. Wherever you go, the need is the same. The one in Aberdeen spoke of Aberdeenshire. The major towns between Aberdeen and Inverness. The nearest church. Well, I think if you go out on the route to Aboyne and Braemar, you're not getting to a gospel church until Aviemore. That's miles. Or in the borders. It's a very moving comment by Martin Smith, the minister of Hoyk, on a film about gospel workers. And he says, how will people hear about Jesus if there is no church to tell them? And so the day tomorrow will begin with an overview of the region, Inverness, where there has been real fruit, and yet where the challenges are no less now than anywhere else. Wherever you go, the need is the same. It is vast, the sheer scale of the challenge to achieve the aim of a healthy gospel church for every community in Scotland. How will that happen? How can it happen? Across the country, indeed across the world, people praying that God will send out leaders and gospel churches, gospel workers into local churches and on the ground. And here we land the plane, here tonight. This happens in local churches where many, many people are equipped and engaged in the ministry of the word some of whom will consider doing that vocationally, whether full or part-time. And I know a number of people in Chalmers are considering this. May God lead you and guide you in that regard. And may Chalmers be an environment where you are encouraged and supported in it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we simply ask that we would heed what is not a complicated message from your word tonight and respond to it appropriately, individually and corporately. We pray for that steady combination of being sobered by it and being thrilled by it. We pray that you would keep us at Chalmers faithful in the proclamation of the word, in all the different expressions of that. We pray that you would keep us going in trusting the ministry of the word to others, training and sending people out. Lord, we pray that you would bless in particular the evangelistic ministries in the church where speaking the word of God is really hard. Encourage all of us to engage in such evangelistic ministry with the word. And be pleased, our Father, in answer to that prayer, to send out workers into this land and beyond. Men and women who know the gospel, who are convinced, and who will proclaim it faithfully to the saving of many people's lives, we pray, and to the building up of churches the length and breadth of this land. And we pray to that end for an encouraging day in Inverness tomorrow for that group of leaders. And we pray in Jesus' name.